This is Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today I want to introduce you to the concept of the night angel. That's Jacob's story, which was found in the book of Genesis. It's the story about Jacob having had a fight with the angel overnight, through the night, and who won. And so we're going to talk about that. And I know it sounds like we're exploring a lot of concepts around Israel, especially at this time with the Israeli-Hamas war, where 100 children per day are being killed in Gaza. Just recently, I watched a speech in which the Prime Minister of Israel called for bombings on American universities. Imagine how that must feel. Imagine how the President of the United States feels right now. Israel is like a child of America. Imagine your child that you raised up and empowered, and then that child turns around and wants to kill you. That child wants to start a war on your home turf. Well, that's what Israel is calling for. So for all you Christofascists and those of you who have weaponized Christianity and make Christianity about the nation of Israel, when the Jews themselves are not Christians, there's still Samaritanism and Judaism, but you have weaponized Christianity to make Christianity about Israel when it wasn't about Israel at all. Christianity is about being a follower of Jesus Christ. That's following him in peace and in truth. That's what he preached. Peace and truth. Peace and truth. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I love you. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, love your husbands as I love the church. That's what Jesus preached. But instead, you have turned it around and weaponized it because of your guilt, because of what happened while your parents were alive during World War II and before the start of it, when you refused the Jews from coming to this land and into Britain. And now your white guilt has taken over. So now you've weaponized Christianity to make it sound like this is just about Israel. No, it is not. Emphatically, no. And I wish you would stop doing it, because you are taking people away from the faith. People actually do have a need for God. They actually do have a need where they want to explore their spirituality. When things are happening around them that they have no explanation for, they want to turn to a source that is time-honored, that their ancestors had turned to. But because of you and the weaponization of Christianity, no one can find God. You have turned it into a movement about a modern day man who has 5 children with 3 different women and who grabs women by their genitals and believes that that is how he should operate. So he's literally enhancing and promoting violence against, sexual violence against women. A man who called for war on American territory, called in the military on Americans. That's who you support, and you weaponize Christianity to be wrapped around that. I'm calling you all out because you're wrong. And I, Harriet Gail Kamek, I'm sitting right here in my capacity as a Bible teacher and as an ordained minister to tell you, go back to the scriptures. You are wrong. You were wrong then for following him. You were wrong then, and you are wrong now, because look where it has led. The nation of Israel, the very people whom you tell all the little grandmas and grandpas to give your money to support the people in Israel, they're now rising up and saying they should send bombs to America. Can you imagine what a world we live in? What kind of confusion is that? What if America decides to really, really do something about that? Can you imagine? America must be sitting like God is looking down, and God, you call for war, and God just... You don't know the end from the beginning, so I won't let you have that one. Can you imagine? But it is your fault. I'm landing it squarely at your door because you have weaponized Christianity. Instead of taking us back to the scriptures and preach how God in the Old Testament had to prove that what we as humans were doing in our human rulership was wrong, so he had to send Jesus, his son, to show us once again the way to salvation, once again to save us from our own selves, from our own inhibitions. And while I am at it, I might as well just call out everything. I am so tired of inflation, and I recognize this for what it is. These are the corporations who run this country. The government doesn't run this country. The corporations dictate to the government. So the government, in its lack of enforceability, accepts what the corporations do. So the bigger the corporation is, the more they tell senators and congressmen and the presidents what to do. So corporations run the country. So while we are all riled up about inflation, I want you to remember who does it, because we in America have a tendency to worship our institutions. We worship the Supreme Court. Oh, they're infallible. They're indestructible. They can do no wrong until they overturned Roe versus Wade. And a gay man in America has more rights than my daughters do. Imagine that. A gay man in America can do whatever he wants to do. He can get married. But my daughters can't have birth control to control their periods. Think about that. Your daughters too, because it's a law. Imagine that. That's what you have done. You have sat back and you have caused all of this to happen by your inaction. So I know some of you stations are probably going to cancel me because I'm speaking the truth, but it is what it is. We have weaponized Christianity and converted it into something that it never was intended to be. And now you have Israel, the very nation whom you're all on Christian TV telling people to send money to support. Israel is calling for the bombing of Americans. So your son, your daughter, your niece, your nephew, your grandson, your granddaughter, your friends and neighbors' children who are on American universities, they're calling for the bombing. So it's not enough that they're killing 100 children per day in Gaza. That's not enough. Oh, you can dismiss that and say, that's those brown people over there. I'm not concerned about them. That's why you're all calling and supporting Israel, right? Because the people who are supporting Israel tend to look not like me. But the people who are being bombed in Gaza, they look a lot like me, don't they? And that, my friends, is where you and I, we don't see eye to eye with the gospel, because that's not what the gospel is about. You'll find that Jesus was very inclusive. He said he came to the Jew first. And when the Jews rejected him, he said, I come to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. He didn't say he came to Islam. He didn't say he came to Samaritanism or Shinto or anything else. He said, I came to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are everybody but the Jews. So what you find as we go through the scriptures is that I continually talk about God in his wisdom and how he dealt with us when we were disobedient, when he dealt with the people who lived at the time when they were disobedient, so that you can see where we are going and what we must do to get ourselves back. Lord, have mercy. You have caused me to get so riled up that I'm feeling the heat right now. Is that the heat I'm feeling back from you because you disagree with what I've said? Well, we live in America, so this is a democracy. So you have choices as much as I have choices. But the fact is, as a Bible teacher, I have a responsibility to tell you that the weaponization of Christianity to make it sound like it's a Christo-fascist religion and an ethno-nationalist kind of faith is not true. That was never the intent of it. God came and he called Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees, and he showed over time how he spoke to all the people. And he sent Jesus to tell us, I love you and love one another as I love the church. That's what he said. All these, the Islam, the Muslims, we're all Abrahamic religions. Judaism is an Abrahamic religion. Christianity is an Abrahamic religion. So we're hurting one another. So how are we going to bring people in and proselytize and evangelize people if the people who are standing outside and watching us are seeing us kill one another? Doesn't make sense, does it? That's my take. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 32. And we're talking about the night angel. You would think today that it sounds like we need a night angel to visit us, doesn't it? Genesis chapter 32, and I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And as you can see, this is one of my older Bibles. I've had this one for some time. In fact, my oldest daughter has her name written in here, dated August 8th of 2000. Imagine that. You'll find that in my Bibles, I used to take my children to church when they were little. So while the preacher was preaching, they would write their names in all of my Bibles and write the dates. So I have that to memorialize and to show them that they have been with me on this journey. So Genesis chapter 32, we're reading from verses 28 to 32. We're talking about the night angel. It's Jacob's story, and we're going to find these elements in. And it says in verse number 28 of Genesis 32, it says, "And he said, your name," Genesis chapter 32. "So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God. It means, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his toe. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Father, in Jesus' name, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. I pray today, O God, that you heal someone who is watching. I pray that you hear our cries for peace as it resounds around the world. I pray the conflict in Israel will cease. I pray for the people of Gaza that they do not feel abandoned by the whole world. I pray, O God, that even now you're sending angels to hover over them, that you're hovering over world leaders to bring an end to conflict that is not necessary. But no conflict is a necessary evil. Father God, look down upon us right now before the whole world devolves into instability. We ask that you intercede, O God, and that you come down and help us. I pray for somebody right now who's worried about the cost of living, the cost of their medication, the cost of food, their little pay, their little social security isn't enough to pay. I pray that you send relief to your people, that you heal our bodies right now, that you bring someone home from the hospital, oh God, that you heal someone's hip joint, Lord God. Someone is worried about a hip surgery they have, a knee surgery. Lord God, heal us from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. And I speak right now to your people and ask that you bless us and guide us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's the story about the night angel? So the story goes that Jacob had a problem. As you know, Jacob was the son of Isaac, right? And there were two of them. So Jacob and Esau were twins. Esau is the older twin, who was the older twin. So he was born first. Esau came out with red hair, so he was kind of hairy. So that's how the father, Isaac, knew them. You know the story, right? So Esau was the one who went out and did stuff, and Jacob was the mother's favorite. There goes the story right there. So at the end of his days, Isaac, the father of Esau and Jacob, was getting older. So he lost his sight, so he couldn't see anymore. So he identified them and knew the difference between his sons by how they felt. So he said to Esau, I am going to bless you. But before I do that, I want you to go and find a goat, make a stew that I like and bring it to me, and then I will bless you. So the mother, Rachel, she overheard this, and she decided that she wanted Jacob, her favorite, to get the blessing of the father. So what did she do? She told Jacob, go kill a goat, come bring the stew, and do it. Yeah. So he killed the goat, brought the stew. But how was he going to trick the father who had lost his sight into thinking it was Esau? Well, Jacob the trickster, what did he do? He put on a coat that had hair on it. So the father said, but your voice sounds like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. So anyway, he went ahead and blessed him. Then Esau returned from the fields and recognized that his brother stole his birthright. So the two brothers were at war after that. So after the father died, it just went apart and Jacob had to run away and leave. So fast forward a few years into the future, this has been bothering Jacob for some time. Now he wants to make peace. So initially, when the father realized that he blessed the wrong child, he did tell Jacob that although I have given you the blessing, your brother is eventually going to rise up against you. So he knew this was coming. So in other words, he was kind of giving the brother the right to come after him. So Jacob ran away. And in running away, he's now older. He has wives. He has children. Because from Jacob came the 12 patriarchs, right? So now he's like, man, I can't live with this. I have to go make peace with my brother. Anybody ever have that? You have to go make peace. You know you did something wrong. You know you caused the problem. And you now have to have the courage to say, I am the problem. I have to fix it. So one of the issues that you see coming out of it, one of the good things that came out of this is courage. It takes courage to say, I am wrong. I did this. I broke the pact. I am the one who caused the problem. So Jacob now says, I have to go make peace with Esau. So in making peace with Esau, he went to bed one night and he had a dream. And it is in that dream that the night angel came to him. The night angel came to him and said, do you know who I am? And Jacob said, no, I don't know, but who are you? And he and the angel fought because Jacob was determined that you're not leaving this place without giving me my blessing. I have to have my blessing. You must bless me before you leave here. So the angel said, we're going to fight. So they started fighting and he caused Jacob to have a limp for the rest of his life. How many of us has that happened to? You're in a place, you know you did something wrong. You know that it was your fault that broke the pact. It was your fault why your marriage broke. It was you who stepped out on your marriage and caused it to happen. It was you who made a wrong decision that caused your company to go into default. It was you who lost the mortgage on your house. It was you who caused the problem at work. It was you who did it. Sometimes we need a night angel to come and tell us where we have gone wrong. So the night angel, I call him the night angel. The Bible refers to him as the angel. In fact, it is widely believed that that angel was Michael, the chief prince, the chief angel, Michael, the angel in heaven, who came down and walked among us as Jesus Christ. Many believe that that is so, but the story says that Jacob had courage. He had to. It shows us that Jacob had to have the courage to first accept that he was wrong. The second thing is Jacob fought all night with the angel. Jacob said to the angel, I want my blessing. How many of us, you want your blessing. You want your blessing. You want your blessing. But how are you going to get your blessing? You find that just like the rest of us, you went to college. For you to get that 4-year degree, you had to do what? Spend time reading, spend time studying. It took you 4 years to get that degree. You're a medical doctor. It took you what? 12 years to become a medical doctor from the time you graduated high school. I see you nodding at me. You're like, uh-huh. It took you what? 7 to 10 years to become a lawyer after you graduated high school, didn't it? Everything that we want, we have to be persistent about it. We have to have courage to do it, and we have to be persistent about it. So Jacob found himself in need of a blessing from God. God sent the angel to wrestle with him. He and the angel fought. But you and I know that we can't get into a ring with God because we can't come out the winner. So somehow God is going to have the victory anyway. So, but he's going to show us that the way to him, the way to get the victory, is we must idolize. We must recognize that we have to be consistent. So you want something from God. You're going to have to be what? Persistent. You're going to have to be consistent. You want to get that college degree? You have to be persistent and you have to be consistent. You have to be courageous first to get up and stand up and say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a neuroscientist. I want to be an astrophysicist. I want to be an astronomer. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a social worker. I want to be. It takes courage to stand up and declare that you want to do something, especially when you come from somewhere where your circumstances don't dictate. This is why I admire people who are titans of industry to some extent. The admiration falls short when they mess up the environment and they cause problems for the rest of us. But here's why I admire them, because they have what? Courage. It takes courage to stand up and say, I'm going to go down to the bank and borrow some money to start this business because I believe in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, this business is going to be a blessing to more people than me. It takes courage. It takes persistency. You remember when we were growing up, they used to have a nursery rhyme that says, and I, while others slept, was onward, toiling upwards through the night. Many of us look at successful people and we want to be like them. We want to have what they have. We want the successes that they have. But are we willing to be courageous? Are we willing to be persistent? And are we willing to be consistent? Are we willing to go and have that fight? Are we willing that when the night angel comes, this tells all of us that God is wrestling with us at night. But what do? Oh, I'm so tired. I just want to sleep. You take up that sleeping pill and you just go to bed and you fall asleep. And in the meantime, the angels of God are walking the earth at night, listening and saying, who is praying? Are you down on your knees praying? Are you praying for what you want? Are you being persistent about it? Are you being consistently praying about it? The Bible says in the book of James that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. We see the same thing in Jacob's story. Jacob was what? Consistent. He prayed all night. He fought with the angel all night. As a memorial, God allowed him to walk for the rest of his life. He walked with a limp. What is your limp? Where does your limp come from? Is your limp something you can trace back to? Well, I had a fight with God. I had to wrestle with the angel because I was determined that the angel was not going to leave until I get my blessing. As for me, that's what I lay down every night. When I go to my bed, I pray every night. I lift up the needs of you and others. I lift up your need. I ask God to bless you. I ask God to listen to your prayers. Hear the needs of the people, oh God. I do it nightly, not once a week, not once a month, or when I'm driving down the street, I hastily say a prayer. No, 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 no. I do it night and day. Say it, night and day. I wrestle with God night and day. So I have a limp. You want to know what my limp is? My limp is I'm unmarried, even though I want to be married. I live alone. That's my limp. Despite the fact that I pray for your marriage to be restored, I pray for you to get married. So God has me in this grip. And how you know is because I'm walking with that limp. I am forever humbled by the fact that God delivered me from abuse. So as long as I live, what do I have? That's my limp. I have to remember that I must talk about ending violence against women. That's my limp. What is your limp, might I ask? Where is your limp? Have you wrestled with the night angel? Yeah, we want the night angel to come and bless us. But before the blessing comes, we have to go through some stuff. We have to be courageous. We have to have these three right here, right here. I call them CPC. You got to have some CPC. You got to be courageous. You got to be persistent and you got to be consistent. But first, you got to be courageous to accept that I have an issue. Part of our problem today in praying to God is not that God will not hear us. It's not that we don't believe. You know what our problem is? Guess. It's so simple. Pride. We refuse to accept that we have a problem that is outside our scope and our ability to control. So we use pride and I can't pray. I can't do that. I can't say anything. I can't. You can't. But what you need is the night angel. You need the night angel to come and visit you in the night and touch you and say, wake up. You ever had a visit from the night angel? When you wake up at 4:30 in the morning and the Lord touches you and says, wake up and pray. And you have to wake up and pray. And before that day is out, you see why you had to get up at 4:30 and pray. You ever had a child who is not acting right and you have to go and pray about it? You ever had a child who needs God? You ever had a child who is sick and you have to walk the corridors of a hospital and you need the night angel to come in and pray for you? You ever had a need for a spouse who is in a hospital bed and you have to walk the walls and the halls of that hospital? You need the night angel. Go wrestle with the night angel. Our victory, my friends, does not come when we're on the mountaintop and waving and saying, hey, hey, ho, look at me. Our victory comes in the silent hours when nobody else is watching and we're on our knees before God asking God for the night angel. That's when your victory comes. We need to be a little bit more astute. We need to start listening more. We need to be quiet more. We need to start paying more attention to what God is saying. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole hour. It rarely ever just takes a whole hour for God to hear you. It doesn't take 50 minutes, but you know what it does take? Consistency and persistency. That's why in the book of James, fast forward over into the New Testament, he tells us clearly the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Why? The persistency and the consistency. The Bible says Jesus assured us that he has rented the veil between God and man in two. So we don't need an intercessor anymore to go in. You don't need the priest anymore. But what you do need is the courage to admit that I have an issue. I have a problem. I need God and I must pray. The hardest thing is for us to give over our self-idol of ourselves, or what I call our self-agency. All of us want to think that we are the greatest. Sure, I want to think I'm the greatest until I had to go to the doctor, until I turned 51 and my body started acting like it wasn't so great anymore, like it was in the previous 51 years. I kid you not. I want to think that I am the greatest until I encountered life issues where the man I thought I married, 6'2" or 6'3½", however tall he was, bigger than me, could almost lift me up and throw me through a window. And then I realized, wait a second, I need God right here. That is forever my limp. I spent nights praying to God, so I had my experience with the night angel. It's the night angel who came and spoke to me and rescued me. God sent the night angel to give me instructions on how to extricate myself out of it. In these next few moments, I'm going to ask you these questions. Do you need a night angel? Do you need the night angel to come? Are you courageous enough to fight all night, to tarry as Jacob did? Jacob tarried with the night angel. They wrestled. Jacob didn't win. Nah, he walked away with a limp. Yes, you're not going to win that way, but you know what? You're going to have the victory. Your circumstance is changing, but it's going to be reflective of your time spent with the night angel. You're going to walk away with a limp. You will never forget what God has done for me. Put your hand on your heart right there. You feel that? Huh. Feel that beat. That's you. God is speaking to you right now. Heal. I pray in the name of Jesus that your heart is healed, that your heart is restored, that whatever the sum of life has done to you, whatever the hurts that people who perhaps are not even here anymore, people who have left and gone, all the pain that they have left you, that it comes out, all the pride has to come out, and you come yielded and still before God. God doesn't want us because he likes us broken. It's because he's a loving father who says, the way to me is to come and ask me for help. I'm right here. I need you to come to me and ask me for help. I accept you. It doesn't matter to me where you come from. It doesn't matter to me what happened. I just want you to come. So in these next few moments, can I just pray with you for a second? Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak right now and ask that the night angel go and visit people. Send your night angel to your people. Send your night angel to the people in Gaza, to the people in Haiti, the people in the Sudan, in Ethiopia. Send your night angel to the people in the Ukraine. Send your night angel to my brothers and sisters watching this, to somebody whose hand needs to get up out of that wheelchair, someone who needs their medication taken care of, somebody who needs a better report from the doctor. I pray right now in Jesus' name that you send your CPC to them. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is so. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, everybody.